Hello everybody, welcome back to another episode number 33 of the Kiwi Gardening Podcast with DIY Plant Man. Now in the last two episodes we dived into a topic of some pests in the garden, and the first one was on aphids and the second one was on slugs. I actually posted a photo today on Instagram about some infestations that I've seen on both my plants and also plants that I've seen out and about, and it's never nice to post these type of pictures on beautiful social media platform. However, I think it's really important to show people what an infection can look like and the fact that a lot of people actually deal with these. So the comments was really helpful to actually see what everyone was actually dealing with, and some of the comments mentioned they deal with the green looper caterpillars. And then others, people mentioned they deal with scales. Some people, and I actually said this in my caption, that I dealt with spider mites. And I had a couple of responses with people saying that I've been dealing with spider mites as well. There were other people dealing with thrips. There were people dealing with just everything. Some people were dealing with stink bugs. And the list goes on. There's usually people dealing with at least one of those pests or two. But yeah, it can be really heart-wrenching when you deal with all these pests. Now, I do want to do more episodes on different insect pests. So if you guys have any suggestions on what I could do next, I'd definitely like to cover that. I feel though for some of the pests like mealybugs and some of those other insects, I feel like they're more of an issue inside your house. But on the podcast, we haven't really dealt with indoor plants much. But if I get enough people wanting to hear about how to get rid of mealybugs or scales or other insects like that, I'm totally down to providing you with those informations in separate episodes. However, in this episode today, we are going to be talking about things we should be planting and some bits and pieces we should be doing this time of the year. One thing I want to say before I get started into this topic is the fact that last time in my episode I told you that I had COVID. I feel a lot better now. I'm actually out of isolation, thankfully, because it's really nice being at home, but when you're actually stuck at home and can't leave and even go to the supermarkets, it's actually quite tricky. So thankfully I'm done with this COVID, and also my wife and daughter caught it as well, and my daughter was quite bad last week, but she's recovering really well. She just lost her appetite for food, and she kept on getting fevers at night, but thankfully we are through that stage now, because as a parent, man, it's really tricky to see a little baby, your daughter, suffering from something like that. So thankfully we are all a lot better, and yeah, my voice is back to normal. So I just want to give you guys a little bit of an update on my situation. Now what I want to do is I want to give you guys a bit of a guide on what to be planting right now in autumn. Now I'll give you a few veggies and a few different flowers as well, because also having flowers in the garden, really important, also beautifies your garden and just helps more pollinators come into your garden in winter time. Even though most of the crops you grow in winter don't need pollinization, due to the fact that most of the things we eat in winter, we just eat the greens. So we just, you know, a broccoli is just the greens. We don't actually let it flower. So you don't actually need pollinators to come and pollinate your broccoli. Like you need insects to come and pollinate things like your cucumbers and tomatoes and stuff. But we don't have any of that going on right now. However, what the flowers will do is it will also help beneficial insects. Because in winter we still get pests in the garden, like the aphids and other sucking insects, which we want to encourage other bugs to come into a garden still in winter to attack these bugs. So let me go through a quick list of some veggies first. So it's time, guys, to plant your pak choi, things like broccolis and cabbage, carrots, cauliflower, celery, coriander, leeks and kale, lettuces, mesculin, onions, parsley, parsnip, peas, rhubarb, rocket, silver beet, spinach, radishes, And I just want to add garlic chives. And you can also actually plant spring onion, depending on your environment. Now, let me read through some of the flowers that you can plant and grow in the winter time. So you can do alyssum. That's a great one for pollinators. Then you can do calendulas, daffodils, daisies, delphiniums, dianthus, forget-me-nots, pansies and violas. I absolutely love planting violas. Now, the difference between the pansy and the viola, very similar. They grow very similar. However, the pansies usually have a much larger flower. The thing I like about the viola, which has the smaller flower, is that the flower is edible and is really beautiful because it has lots of different patterns, obviously depending on what variety you grow. But one thing I really like about it is that it grows really small. It self-seeds really easily, so you can collect seeds. And it's just great for pollinators and just adds a bit of colour to the garden. So that's one I'll be definitely growing, and I've already got some out in my garden grown from seed. Sorry, I'll keep going with the flowers. We have poppies, sweet peas, and tulips. So guys, you've got a bit of a range of stuff to grow. Usually when people start gardening, they think that gardening is one season and you can only grow things in the springtime and summer. However, this list is proof that there's so much to grow. I would definitely give growing in winter a go, guys, because it is so rewarding. Now, I want to give you a few tips on these plants and how to grow them. And there's one thing I definitely want to tell you. When you grow carrots, and I'm assuming it will be quite similar with the turnips, as it's got that tap root that goes straight down, first off, you want to make sure that your soil is not very compact or has a lot of rocks in it. You want a soft soil so the carrots can grow straight down and not have any problem with growing. Otherwise, what can happen is you can get some wonky carrots and you can get some other things happening as well. So yeah, just make sure that you prepare your soil well. The second thing with these crops is that I would not buy seedlings from the garden centers. The reason I say this is that when a carrot is sown into a tray and then you transplant it into your garden, the carrots never really produce that well. And you'll hear a lot of people saying that it's better to direct sow your carrot seeds. And I'm just going to say in this case, turnip seeds as well. The next crop I want to just give you some quick tips on would be the radish family. Now, there's heaps of different types of radishes, and there's massive ones like the daikon radishes. Then you've got the small ones like the breakfast radishes. I would also direct sow these only because they germinate so quickly and it's not really taking up space in your garden if you sow them, and it kind of saves you one extra job by just direct sowing them rather than having to transplant them. However, I'm actually breaking this rule and I love growing daikon radish, the big white ones. And this year I'm actually going to try to transplant some and actually direct sow some and actually see if there is a little bit of a difference between transplanting radishes. Now, the next thing I want to say is that starting things from seed, these are the ones that you'll have quite a bit of success with because they germinate very quickly, and generally there's not too many things that go wrong with germinating them. Now, number one would be the pak choi. The things like the broccoli would be good. The cabbage, cauliflower, the kale, the leeks, and spring onions and chives, which I added into the list, rocket, silver beet, and the spinach. You'll have probably not too many issues with growing these from seeds, so I wouldn't buy seedlings if you can help it. Buying seeds would be better. There's one thing though, make sure that you have a little closed container or something. So at Bunnings, you can buy a little seedling starting greenhouse. It's very small. It fits 24 cells for the seedlings, and what this does, it just stops it from getting the very cold weather on it, so it prevents it from getting frostbite or any of those type of really heavy rains. The second thing is it protects it from slugs, because slugs are definitely not your friend when it comes to seedlings. As I said last week in episode 32 on slugs, is that a slug can literally demolish a seedling in one bite. So be careful and make sure it's protected from those elements and those pests. Just wanted to add to that list of things you can plant from seeds that are quite good. I forgot to add lettuce and other leafy greens like the mesculins and stuff. So generally those grow really well. The things you might have to just buy or you might have a bit more trouble with germinating are some of the flowers, because sometimes they can take a little while to germinate. Then you've got things like your rhubarb. You might just want to buy that. It was just troubleshoot and save a lot of time if you can get a seedling. Especially if you only want one plant, then there's no point trying to buy a packet with 100 seeds in it. Things like calendulas, the dianthus, daisies, alyssum will be alright. You might have to wait a while for some of those to actually germinate. But yeah, anyway, just plant them and some things will pop up, and then over time more things will pop up. If you do want to see a picture of what I'm referring to when I talk about that little greenhouse, the really, really small one, you should check out my Instagram photo that I posted. I did a post on this and also on Facebook. And it just shows what it looks like and how I've planted it out. So at the moment, what I've planted is I've done kale, two different varieties. I've done the ripcurl kale and the dinosaur one. Then I have some spinach growing in there as well. Then I've got a whole bunch of lettuce. And then I also planted a whole bunch of leeks and spring onions, and also the rainbow silver beet, which is quite cool in the garden. So these I transplanted from a pot that I just grew them in because I was quite busy for the last few weeks. I just literally got one pot and sprinkled all those seeds in that little pot. And then what I've done is I've gone and pulled out the seedlings and put them in their own individual cell inside that little greenhouse. Now, also the seedlings that I've sown just recently have been, I found at King Seeds, they actually have a mini red cabbage. So as you know, my space is very small and I have to improvise with the varieties I grow. So instead of trying to grow one massive cabbage that will take up a lot of space in my garden, I've gone down the road of doing smaller mini varieties. So at least I can kind of get a taste of the cabbage. And because, as I said, I won't be able to grow many if I did the big variety, so just say I grew one, then when that one is ready to harvest, that's my whole harvest gone. Like, that's my whole patch of cabbage gone. So what I've opted to do is to grow like three or four smaller ones, so then I can harvest them on different weeks, and then they can always be fresh when they come out of the garden. I'm also sowing more garlic chives, one of my faves. Then I also am sowing red stemmed celery that I got from a seed swap, which is awesome. Would never have bought those seeds myself. So it's great to try something a little bit different as well. And then I also have some poppies coming along as well. So yeah, I've got a few things going on in the garden. I also have some more things in those individual pots. Some things like violas and other flowers and some more leeks and stuff. But anyway, that's enough from what I'm sowing, and I'll be sowing more for the next few weeks just to bulk up my garden. Now, that was quite a messy section there on seed sowing, but I hope you guys got a few tips out of that section on what you should be planting now. Now I just have a few different chores that you should be doing out in your garden at this time of the year. I want to tell you one thing that I have done that I don't need until summer, but I feel like if I do it now, then I can test it out and play around with it in spring so that I do not have any issues in summer. And that is using drip irrigation, doing a setup in your garden so that next season I won't have to worry about it, because it's easy for me to leave things to the last minute. However, this time I was like, I just need to get the products and actually do it. So the cool thing about doing the drip irrigation now is the fact that I don't need it now, so there's no pressure, but also the fact that when it gets close to summer, I'm not going to procrastinate putting it in and then ending up having too much stuff in my garden that I can't actually put the irrigation in there. So my garden bed at the moment is empty, so it's the best time for me to actually do that irrigation, because soon my garden will be filled with those seedlings that I just described to you about. Now, the second thing that I always harp on about, but I really think it's important for you guys to keep remembering to do this, is to get leaf mulch. Now, I want to give you two tips for leaves. Number one, use it as mulch. Spread it on top of your soil and protect your soil from the cold weather. This will work as kind of like an insulation blanket. It'll also feed the worms. I've said this many times before, but I'll say it again. It also helps the diseases that are in the soil, the soil-borne diseases, to not splash up on your plants because you've got a layer of leaves on the top and it kind of works as a sponge. It also will break down over time and it will cause the top of the soil to be a beautiful humus with a lot of different minerals and nutrients in there that the plant will use. Now, if you think about nature, in a forest, nobody fertilizes, nobody does anything, yet it grows extremely well. The reason being, all the leaves fall off, they break down slowly. The microorganisms inside the soil convert that dead leaf matter into nutrients available to the plant. And it's a cycle that we should be using in our gardens. The second option for leaves, which I haven't actually done myself, but I really want to do, but the fact that I don't have space actually makes it a little bit tricky for me. So if you have an excess amount of leaves, if you have a whole bunch of leaves, you can make this thing called leaf mold. So what you do is you grab a whole bunch of leaves, you put them in a black bag, and then you poke holes throughout the bag. Then you just kind of lay it somewhere, make sure it's touching the ground, so then different microorganisms can go inside that bag and help break those leaves down. And what you want to do is just leave it there for over a season, as long as you can leave it. So get a whole bunch of bags if you have the space and do this. In a season or two, you'll have beautiful black broken down leaves, which are amazing, and it's the best thing for your plants. So guys, get out there and grab those leaves. And if you're a parent and have kids, especially young kids, encourage your kids to go to your neighbors, or if you see a property on your street that has so many leaves, go ask the person who owns that house if your kid can rake up the leaves for a certain amount of money. And then what you can do as a parent is also give them a bit of money to do that. That's a great way to help your kid out in earning a bit of money, and it's a great incentive for them to get them for you. You're helping the neighbor out, and it's just a win-win-win all around. So if you have the capacity or the capability to do this, I would totally do it. Okay, that's all that I have to say about mulch. The next thing is composting and using different fertilizers and amendments in your garden. Now, because you're sowing your seeds now, it means they'll probably be ready in 6 to 8 weeks before you can actually plant them out in your garden, except for obviously the ones that you direct sowed. Now, what this means is that you have a bit of time, about 2 months or less maybe, but you have a few months where you can actually amend your garden bed. So if you've pulled out your summer crops already, and I think I said this a few episodes ago, then it's a great time for you to add compost into your garden or other amendments. You can use blood and bone, the powdered one, and just mix that into your garden bed, and hopefully get that soil a little bit more back to life and adding a bit more nutrients, because most of the plants in the summer garden, like your tomatoes and those, absolutely suck the nutrients out of your soil. So it's not a bad idea to use this time to actually top up the nutrients and top up the soil in your garden bed. And the last little task that I want you guys to do is think about where you're planting your plants. Is it really windy there in the winter, and do you get a lot of heavy rain? If that's the case, make sure you put up protection for your plants, especially when they're young. Maybe you need to buy a little hoop that you can put a plastic cover over, or you might need to build a little wind shelter for your plants. But it's a great time to do that now before it gets too cold and wet outside, because it might be too late then. So it's a great time right now, while not too much is happening in your garden, to actually prepare yourself for when we hit the storms in the winter time. So guys, do not waste this time that we have. It's a very precious time of the year. And guys, just go out there and enjoy the fresh air and a bit of a chill in the air. I do really like that. And since I've been at home with self-isolating, I've been enjoying going for morning walks with my daughter. And that crisp air is something you can't really beat. I mean, I do like that crisp air more when it's springtime, because I know that there's a whole season of summer coming up, so I get really excited about that. But I'm trying to excite myself also about winter coming up, and there are ways of doing that. especially when you're out and about in the garden. So guys, thank you for listening to this episode. I hope I've given you a bit of value and information about what you should be doing right now in your garden. Also, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, if you guys have any pests that are absolutely ravaging your garden and you would personally like to hear about it, please message me on one of my social media platforms, and I hope that I can be of assistance by giving you a podcast episode on that topic. So thank you once again, everybody, for listening to this podcast episode. We're totally getting up there actually now with the number of episodes, which is really cool. And I'm being a bit more diligent with doing it once a week. So I hope I can keep this up. Also, guys, I said this for the last few episodes, but if you could please subscribe on the podcast app of choice that you listen to. And also, if you could leave a review, I would really, really appreciate that. Just the fact that it gives me a bit more traction. And if you feel like this podcast is giving you any value at all, if you could just voice that in the reviews column, I would really appreciate that, and I'll totally give you a shout out. So thanks guys again for listening. Good luck in the garden during the autumn season. And yeah, I look forward to seeing you guys post about this on your Instagram or telling me about it on a chat or something. And yeah, I'd love to hear about what you guys are up to, and I'd love to see the produce that you guys produce this winter. So thanks, everybody, and see you later. Thank you.